Thanks for tuning in to Let's Talk Portland, Intercom Radio Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham. Are your kids really into video games? Well, maybe they'd actually like to create a video game. Let's talk about it and find out how they can. On the show this time, I would like to welcome Jason Carley. Jason is the owner of Code Ninjas. Hey there, Jason. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing today?
Doing good. So Code Ninjas, this sounds like serious work. Tell me about Code Ninjas. What is it?
Well, Code Ninjas is the largest and like fastest growing like kids coding franchise in the country. They've expanded into Canada and even parts of the UK. Here in the Portland market, there's a few of us, but here in the Beaverton Hills borough area, there's just us. It was founded back in 2016, and we got online with this right about the time that COVID kind of got into a scenario here. I would say March. And we've been working very, very much to try to keep that not necessarily the focus, but just trying to get kids involved in coding and STEM and having some fun. And, you know, we teach them to do this by more or less tricking them into thinking that they're going to build video games, which, in fact, they do.
So tricking them. That's pretty funny. So explain to our audience what coding is.
Well, you know, coding is a way to take certain language, if you would, and it's kind of like mixing language and math together in a way, like an if this scenario, then that scenario. So in a sense, it is very, very much problem solving. It starts off with more rudimentary form of coding that we use. It's provided by MIT, and that's a great way to get people to first understand some simple basic logic, and then from there we kind of start to add a little bit more lines of code or instruction.
How young of kids are you working with? Because this sounds like kind of heady stuff, computer stuff, right?
Yeah, well, it can be. What we think of it in this way, they have to be able to read to do a lot of this. So 7 to 14 is like the key group. But kids younger than 7, they can be involved in it too. They're just not necessarily using a lot of actual words. They're using more of, I guess, like symbols. We have a just turned 5 yesterday, a 5-year-old in the house, and he's been working with a couple of things, Code Sparks being one of them, which is something that we promote at our dojo. We call it a dojo because it's, you know, the theme in a way of Code Ninjas, our studio, which is gorgeous, by the way. Just come out and check it out. It's important that give everyone an opportunity to get a chance to kind of learn what this is. And some of the younger kids we see with siblings that are a little bit, you know, older than them that are actually involved in the program. We have a junior create program where those smaller children can get involved now as well. And then there's even a pro version for more adults. That's more of an HTML. So we can teach people how to do certain, I wouldn't say coding at that point, but it's more of like learning how to run websites and what have you.
Do kids have to have a kind of an aptitude towards coding and mathematics and things like that or what?
They don't. The first two belts. So we do this in belts, kind of like a karate class, white belts and then orange and yellow and green and blue and purple and on we go. Those first two or three belts, it is more like game-based curriculum. They're meant to be easy wins for the children so that they can see how quickly they can adapt to it. We had, I guess if you talk about like our headquarters, our HQ, you know, they normally think the curriculum should take the average student probably about 4 or 5 months for white belt. We've had a few in the area. I don't know if they're coming from Intel families, but they were done in about 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. So that blew us away at how fast they were able to go through that curriculum. Those kids are like 13, 14 that did that. But some of the younger kids are, you know, they're still playing around in that first white belt. But you don't necessarily have to know a lot about coding to really understand it, because the curriculum shows you, you know, again, small wins.
What's the ultimate goal? You want these kids to learn how to do what?
The ultimate goal is by the time they get to be a black belt that they will have some, I suppose, game or app that they'll be able to publish on an app store.
And at what age?
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is, according to what we've been doing here, it's been since 2016 that this was first derived in another state, and now it's going across the country. There's 466 centers currently and growing, but it takes about 4 years to get through the curriculum. So there is nobody that's a black belt yet.
Okay.
So if you start off at 14, you should be able to knock this out in 4 years. Or if you're younger than that, it's about a 4-year program. So, it you know, we say that to all the parents that come in, just like if they were going to join with any sport or any type of activity, to, you know, to really master this, you have to give it enough time. But ultimately, to give them the opportunity to publish their own game is really the ultimate goal for us.
And so this is in addition to their regular schoolwork, right? So when do the kids have the time to do this? What is it, something they do in the evening, weekends?
Yeah, well, you know, pre-COVID, it was like an after-school program. And for parents that did like some, you know, did some schooling from home, you know, there was, we afforded them the ability to come in at any given time, you know, throughout the day. We open at about 12 o'clock on most days, every day, but Sunday. And for a lot of the children that could come in, it was more, again, like meant to be after school. Being that we have a situation on our hands where there is no real after school, it seems like there's always school, depending on when they can, you know, log in. We do give the ability for some of these children, if they work with us and there's a couple programs, they can actually come in and utilize some of our computers or our internet so that they can have a safe space to come work on some of their own projects. Now, we're not going to tutor them on any of their schoolwork, but we'll support them in their endeavor to be able to at least connect and then be able to play within our curriculum on coding.
So kind of think about it in the same way that you would with kids going to soccer practice or something like that. It's extracurricular.
Exactly. Now, this is a drop-in program, so they can come in whenever they want. They work on their – it's to their pace. There is a sensei in the studio at all times. It's usually about a 1-to-5 ratio. We've actually had more of a 1-to-3 ratio. So there's plenty of senseis to help out. And just, there's a certain point in some of this curriculum where now they have to raise their hand and say, okay, can you check my work? And then they keep moving. But for the most part, it's self-paced. So, there is some, programs that have been put together so they can do this from home. We find that most of the parents that are coming in to work with their students, have kind of turned away from that. They really want a space, a safe space that they can come to and have a little bit more time. Parents can drop them off for up to 2 hours, depending on which program they want to be involved in. We have for some of our students and our parents, we have a once a month. We're thinking about making it more like twice a month, but like a parents' night out where they can drop off their kiddos for more than 3 hours, where they can come in and, you know, have a little bit of fun. Whether they want to code, work on some of their own programs that they're involved in, or even just kind of play some video games or watch a movie, trying to build that community back. We know that this will all eventually come back to us in full force, so we're slowly chipping away at that and having kids be able to come in practically whenever they want.
We're talking today with Jason Carley, owner of Code Ninjas. Now, Jason, I want to ask you, tell me about STEM education and coding.
Well, you know, STEM education and coding is interesting because it kind of has a lot of, like, you know, whether it's science or technology or, you know, math, engineering. It's really about problem solving. It's really about understanding what you're looking at and trying to, in my words, pick it apart and put it back together. So coding is definitely going to have problem solving to the point that as we start to get into our purple belts, we need to have better computers, faster processors, the ability to take on more script, to take on more language, so that the direction that the kids are trying to take some certain application can go into different categories. So, you know, having STEM activities is extremely important to be able to put this on resumes as you go into your work life, or even just have certain things that you can work off of for better problem solving is something I think that's great for anybody at any age.
Besides creating video games, which I'm assuming most kids are totally into, right? Besides doing video games, what else can you do with coding?
Well, there's some robotics that we do as well, where we bring in certain functions. You know, for me, it's always been about can we incorporate both whether it's be software or hardware. so that it's not just something we're all worried and conscious, if you would, about additional screen time for children. We try to say, well, this is a screen time that they're actually going to be able to create something from. The core program is called Create. And to have this Create program is to show children that, even especially with COVID and a lot of like distance learning, you know, you're in front of a screen, but what are you going to do with that screen? You know, like, how are you going to be able to work with the understanding of what's behind it? And then at the same point, can we start to get you involved in a little bit more of the hardware side of things? So we do have camps every month or so. We work with some of the kids that we already have lined up to ask them, well, what are you involved in? And there's, I think they're up to like over 25 camps now. And, you know, there's so many different choices for them. We're trying to put together something with Raspberry Pi. Raspberry Pi is a very easy to understand, maybe not for everybody, but easy to understand program that works with not just programs, but, software, but also hardware. So we try to give everybody a chance to understand a lot of different things. But you're right when you say, like, the kids really want to just be able to play video games. You're seeing more of these video games that it's a duality of like playing the game and also creating the game and creating a universe for their friends. Minecraft, Roblox, huge platforms. We have kids that come in here that are showing us some things that we can take to the next class and then teach the next kid. So it's a lot of communal learning, and we try to do this still in a very tough space that we're all in right now and trying to keep our distance and keeping each other safe. But our dojo in Hillsboro is big enough that we can still keep everyone involved with each other but still somewhat distant.
Are you kind of blown away every day about how quickly kids learn this and adapt to the computer world?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I've got a 4-year-old, just turned 5 yesterday. He's already starting to do basic coding. At the same time, I've tried to say forever because, you know, we have, elderly parents that sometimes need a little bit of help with, you know, connecting with Zoom meetings and, you know, FaceTime and all this other stuff. And I try to say to the parents, my parents and maybe the parents of these children, it's easy for these children because they don't have to worry about breaking it, right? Once you don't have to worry about breaking it, you're a little bit more freed up to try to explore. And when you're worried about whether or not this thing's not going to work and I need it for something more important than just this, you have a lot of people who start to worry. Should I even try? For us, it's like, come on in here. Don't worry. We got plenty of computers. They're tough. Let's figure out. Let's get into it. Let's like figure out how the finer nuances within whether it's software or hardware. And I think that blows me away all the time. Like to see children that are just fearless in their attempts to understand something that everyone else is worried, well, why should I learn that? Because it's just going to change. Well, if they learn this basic now and they can build from that, they're going to learn so much more.
It is pretty amazing how it is a generational thing. I remember my parents going, oh, I'm going to break the computer just by pressing the wrong button. They were terrified of it. And it's,
when I was younger and I got my first computer, it was Control-Alt-Delete. You held those down, you broke it, you got into BASIC, you started, you know, telling certain basic commands, and we were off and running. That was before any of these languages. There's an emphasis in our dojo to not just look at one language in particular, you know, but we do spend a few months or a few belts, I should say, on Lua. Lua is a language that is more for gaming platforming only. Once the kids get to that point, you really see them start to soar. There's a couple kids that will get stuck on a yellow belt, and we're like, don't worry, it's just getting through this and understanding it will take some time. But when they start to get into like true graphics and game building, that's when it starts to get really interesting, because you look over what they're working on and you're like, huh, I would have never thought of that. You know, like that's an amazing, it's like art class. And once you give the kids all the proper basics and you give them the tools to play with, you give them the opportunity to do it. There's an artist in all of us. And for coding, it's just a tipping point for these children to be able to explore. I look at it that way.
We're talking today with Jason Carley, owner of Code Ninjas. Jason, how did you get into this line of work?
So I already have a different business. It's afforded me the ability to try at this. And growing up, you know, there was a lot of things that I was always interested in. And whether it was a problem with money or a problem with like trying to find the right teacher, it was always difficult for me growing up. And knowing that I didn't want that for my son and I didn't want that for my community, I took the leap with my wife, Heather, in the, this is an opportunity, most definitely for us, for not just being able to employ young minds, strong minds that are looking at trying to develop other minds, because I feel that if I was given that a little bit more of an advantage, you know, I might have been able to do some more good earlier. Here, doing this now, trying to gather an audience, you know, these children that are around us, they're all interested in computers, and to put them in a position where they're actually creating and not just passively playing, was so important to me.
It's absolutely fascinating what you're doing. Tell me about some of the demographics. Tell me about some of the demographics. Is it boys and girls equally, or?
It actually is. I mean, it's really close. There's just a couple more boys. I think we're almost up to 20. There's only a couple more boys than there is girls. That's the part that I think is just great. You're starting to see a younger demographic that's into gaming that wasn't when I was a kid. But we see some of the girls advancing more quickly in some of this space because, again, not afraid. There's nothing holding them back. This is an industry that is not dominated by one or the other. When it comes to the battle of the sexes. So when you see these young girls and these young boys coming in, there's really no animosity towards each other on what they're working on. They want to learn from each other. The platforms are all creative. There's not a lot of shoot 'em up stuff, right? We're not looking at that. There's not a lot of crashing and gore. That's not something that we're interested in. We're trying to show them how they can problem solve, right? How they can build something and they can be very creative. And to give people a little bit more understanding of that, these children, they really kind of prove to us that, you know, by just letting them loose on this format, it's amazing. It's amazing that some of the things that we get to see them do.
Problem solving is a skill that can take you a long ways, and it sounds like these kids are really learning problem solving.
Yeah, and you know, you see a little bit of frustration sometimes, and then you work with them on that. Some kids are going to be a little bit more frustrated because it's a passion for them. There's no one coming in going, okay, I don't like this, and they're going to walk away. They all keep coming back and trying again. And then once they break it, previous to COVID, it was a lot of talk of high fives, you know, like, great, great. You know, we're still working with these kids to beef them up, to get them to know, like, this is awesome. Like, you made a breakthrough. Like, wait till you're going to learn tomorrow and we'll see you. And, you know, having these kids stay longer, and the parents are in the lobby waiting, and we're like, okay, well, your time's up. And they're like, well, let me stay a little bit longer. It's proof this is working.
I want to ask you about, you said you started your Code Ninjas right about the time that COVID hit, right? So
that's correct.
How have you adjusted to that? What kind of impact has COVID-19 had on Code Ninjas?
Well, you know, it's a little bit slower out the gate, being that a lot of the marketing is more centered towards, schools and trying to get involved in some of the school curriculum. A lot of the schools are doing things like this. Early on, we started to notice there's a lot of this happening in a lot of different spaces. For me, that's great. That's just more awareness that this is necessary. Next step. I don't look at it as competition. I think there's enough work out there for everyone. I think there's enough opportunity now, more and more, for young minds to get involved in this. But COVID's really kind of slowed us down into getting the word out. A lot of people come by and they're like, "What is this place?" You know, it just says Code Ninjas on the facade, and then they come in and they see this, you know, amazing dojo, right, where kids get to come in there. We're like, oh, sorry, this is parent-free zone. You can't go in here. And the kids just have that look. They're like, oh, geez, I can't believe it. I get to do this on my own. And if they need help, the help is there. And, you know, COVID definitely slowed us down. But we've got long legs. We've been commissioned to build a second location in Beaverton. We'll get there probably sometime next year. We'll start breaking ground on that. One of the more exciting things that we've just, Code Ninjas has just launched is a partnership with, more or less a game building, or not just game building, but game playing format, like an e-sport. That's something that we're rolling out at our location. Not every Code Ninjas is doing that. Some are probably a little bit worried about where things are going with COVID. But for me, you know, I jokingly say I've got, TGS, Top Gun Syndrome, you know, like, let's go. We can build this. There's children that want to be involved. This is just another opportunity for parents to have a space where they can drop their kids off in a safe area and they can really learn. They can build confidence. It's no different than any other sport, in my opinion. It's just that the kids are a little bit more privy to this, being that it's, you know, video game based. And I think COVID has really put a lot of families, children, and, you know, students, if you would, into a space where they don't want to necessarily leave the nest. they're a little bit more shocked to get out and to start to roam. They come into our space and we keep the numbers tight where we're not going to be in a crowded classroom, and they're excited to be able to come back. So it's proven to be, again, a little bit of a slow start, but again, we have long legs and we're not going anywhere. So
are you doing all in-person learning now, or is some of it online or remote too?
It is all in-person. Our corporate has built, has built that out so that there is the ability to do, distance learning at home. No one has really taken us up on it. We haven't put a ton of time into it. It's easy to turn that on. I think that maybe there might be a hybrid for some. No one's asked for, can I do this at home? Sometimes it's maybe they're worried that maybe their computer isn't strong enough and that they know that they have a space that they can come to. I'm not really sure. It's kind of a hard question to ask. If no one's asking can my son or daughter do this at home that's currently enrolled, we don't really know why. It's nice for us because, we have this space that we built. It was never intended to be have children at home struggling with any type of, curriculum. The curriculum is pretty smooth. It runs really nice, but there is those breakpoints where they're supposed to kind of look for that help, whether it be another student that maybe is a little bit more advanced than them, or obviously our senseis who are there to try to keep the kids moving. It's become something that we recognize that people are looking for an actual physical space. So to answer your question, right now people aren't taken up on the idea of doing this outside of anywhere other than at our dojo.
Okay. If parents are listening right now, maybe they want to get their kids involved, but they're not so sure about the safety. Tell me about the safety protocols you have in place.
Yeah, so like I mentioned earlier, the other business that I have is a company. It's a construction company that deals with, how to keep places safe, how to remove contaminants. We have periodical wipe downs of equipment. We have enough equipment that any given day, one person's going to touch that equipment. We give out everyone their own mouse, if you would, and then earbuds so that they're their own. The computers, they go through a cleaning situation every day. And then at the same time, we do, we do have some extra measures that we do put into place, whether it be, certain negative air techniques to clean the air, air scrubbing techniques, fogging with certain, plant-based botanicals that help to try to keep everything clean. So knowing what I know on the other end of the spectrum on this other business has really afforded me the ability to do this at no additional cost. Where anybody else that would need to be doing this probably would turn it down because of the cost involved. So it's just another way for us to just prove that the space is just, healthy and clean. I don't look at it as any type of lateral move to try to get somebody to look at this other business, because this other business only gets involved with people during a disaster. And I just don't want to see people in this space. I like to keep these two extremely separate. But we do take that that precaution. Of course, kids are coming in getting temperature checks, and there's a couple questions that we'll ask during the initial sign up with parents. And the community we have currently is small. Okay, it's still to the point where people are understanding of who each other are. They're seeing parents come in and out, and we do a good job of balancing out. There's a scheduler now so that you can come on in when you want, as opposed to what was before was just a drop in. Come on in anytime. There was never an issue of capacity. There's nearly 60 seats. We're keeping it below 10, and we haven't had any situation yet where anyone's coming in and being turned away. The timeliness of everything right now is still working to our favor. So that's how we keep the kids safe.
Awesome. Well, if parents and or kids are listening right now, Jason, tell them how they can get more information on Code Ninjas.
Well, you can go to CodeNinjas.com. We are everywhere and anywhere right now, considering we're one of the only ones here in the Portland market. We have a couple different pages online. If you search for Code Ninjas Hillsboro, you'll definitely find us. If you are to the point where you're just trying to find a phone number, of course, that's always easy. That's 503-995-8787. We say to everyone, come on in. You get a free tour and a free game building session. We talk to the parent about the pricing and then some of the things that we have available, and we let the kids go into the dojo and work with one of our senseis, and they usually don't want to leave.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for all this information. Sounds like you're doing really cool stuff, Jason.
Yeah, well, thanks for the call.
We've been talking today with Jason Carley, owner of Code Ninjas. Thanks again. Let's Talk Portland is an Entercom Radio Portland public affairs program.